What is up, guys? Welcome to the Think Computer's weekly tech podcast. This is episode 456, and our podcast this week is brought to you by Amazon. If you go to thinkcomputers.org/Amazon and happen to purchase something, that gives us a little kickback and keeps the podcast ongoing. We wouldn't want to miss, you know, if nobody bought stuff off Amazon, this podcast
just goes away.
Yeah, no, it definitely wouldn't go away, but it definitely helps us out. And of course, that is my co-host, Ryan. What's going on?
Not much. We already got someone in the chat saying 1 minute.
Yeah, we Jesse, are live. Jesse, the dude in the chat. If you are in the live chat, say what's up. I'm pretty sure the live chat comes through at least on Facebook and YouTube. So if you comment on either of those platforms, we should be able to see it up on the screen here. I don't know about like Twitter.
I keep an eye on I have the Twitter stream running as well. And I pop over there and
monitor. Yeah. But before we get into this week's episode, I do want to say, if you haven't taken a look at last week's episode, we had Liquid House on. They're some of the best when it comes to custom PC builds and mods and things like that. And we went down the whole rabbit hole of how they got started and everything like that. So if you're looking for a really interesting podcast with one of the really cool creators in the sort of PC building case modding space, definitely check out last week's episode. Of course, it's up on YouTube. You can catch it on all of the other streaming or podcast platforms. It's all out there, but we had a lot of fun last week with them. So, and we're trying to get at least one guest per month or one every other month. It's hard to get people booked onto the podcast, but we're going to try to do one guest per month because it's a lot of fun having other people on and hearing people's stories. And last week was definitely a good one. So yeah, definitely check that out. But Ryan, how, it's middle of summer, you hit the pool.
Yeah.
Well, I feel like I'm red.
I've got it's my tan season. So wintertime will roll around, it'll be all gone. But hitting the pool, it's been super hot. Last week, I was looking at the 10-day forecast and it was mid to high 90s for the next 10 days with heat index. And you're what the hell? But it rained two nights ago.
When winter comes around, you'll be
I don't mind the cold.
So I hate the cold. I hate it.
Yeah. But it's all right. But yes, we get to go to the pool all the time. So
that's nice. But yeah, we have a lot to talk about this week. We did a review on a M.2 SSD based on the Phison E28 controller. You'll see a ton of drives come out based on this controller. So Phison sent over sort of a prototype drive to give a good idea of performance. We're going to be talking about that. We also have Battlefield 6. Tomorrow's going to be a trailer coming out for Battlefield 6. We have information on RDNA 5. From AMD, so some leaks on that. Threadripper Pro 9995WX overclocked, all core, all 96 core overclocked, 5 gigahertz. Gigahertz. Really cool retro machine that Main Gear is coming out with. Some AI stuff, really cool keyboard, and also some GTA 6 stuff. So definitely, like I said, lock in for this episode. We have a bunch of things to talk about, and we do have our full show notes page too, so if you want to go ahead and follow along or click through to any of the articles, reviews, or anything like that, it's all going to be right here in the show notes. And again, if you are listening later or even listening on audio, you can go to the show notes and look through everything that we're talking about if you need more information. We also have Old Man in the chat. Good to see you here as well. Of course, good. I think he missed 1 week, but he was there last week, wasn't he? I'm pretty sure Old Man was.
I think so.
Yeah. It was such a good episode last week that I forgot who was all in the chat, and we had different people. So yeah. But let's start with the Phison E28. So again, they sent us over sort of just a reference design M.2 SSD. Of course, Phison is the one that actually makes the controller. They don't make a consumer drive. The drive is not, you won't be able to buy it anywhere. This is just kind of what they put together to give an idea of performance. So this was a 2 terabyte drive. Of course, it has their E28. This is their new controller. And it had 218 layer 3D TLC NAND on it. and a cache chip on it. This is kind of what you're going to see on a lot of drives, like say like from like a Corsair or whoever, you know, you're going to see this type of setup with 3D TLC NAND and a cache chip and everything like that. So, I mean, this is what the drive looked like, but again, it's just going to be, you know, this is kind of what it would look like if you are going to pick one of these up from a different supplier. There is the actual controller right there. And the big thing, and I'm sure we all talked about this, and we've talked about this on the podcast so many times, is when it came to PCI Express 5.0 NVMe SSDs, the biggest thing was they were hot. They yep. used a lot of power and they were hot, meaning that you needed an active cooling solution. So a lot of the drives that we tested, they came with that little tiny little fan, you know, and if you were doing like a sustained write, that fan would turn on and it would be decently loud.
Yeah.
It was not something. And even the ones like, I remember like the Crucial T705, even without active cooling, it would actually thermally throttle. Like I had to put a fan on.
I remember that. Yep.
So that was the big issue with a lot of Gen 5 drives, specifically drives based on Phison's E26 controller. That's a previous controller to this one. And they've worked on those issues. And the good thing about this drive is in our testing, it's not going to get all that hot. You definitely still do need a heatsink, but you can rely on the heatsinks that are on your motherboard. So like I used the heatsink that was on my Asus motherboard and I didn't run into any thermal throttling issues. So that is definitely a plus. Also you are going to see, you know, different brands come out with different drives with their own cooling solutions, but I would suspect that most of those cooling solutions won't have active cooling. So you won't have to worry about that little fan and the noise and how do I plug this little fan in? Like, where do I plug it? And all of that, which is going to be a really good thing. Now, this drive specifically, or this controller and this setup specifically, is going to give you around 14,000 megabytes per second, which is very, very fast.
Very fast, yeah.
Very, very fast. And the thing that's great about it is that it achieves this, again, without all of that heat and without all, you know, without the possibility of thermally throttling. And I think that is the great thing here. So if we do go into our testing, now again, depending on the platform that you're testing it on, you will see different results. But like in our testing, it gets quite close. We're running an Intel system, so it's actually going to be slower in sequential read and writes. But as you can see, we're at like 12,000 or 12 gigabytes per second, 11 on the reads, and the writes are a little bit higher here. And if we go through to some more of our testing again, Crystal Disk Mark, we're at 13, you know, gigabytes per second, 12 gigabytes per second read. So very, very good performance on this across the board. And you can go through and see all of our tests here. I think this year into 2025 is going to be the year where you're going to see a lot more wider adoption of PCI Express 5.0 drives, just for the fact that, again, we're getting to the point now where they are going to be, they're not going to be as hot. So you won't have to worry about thermal throttling. You won't have to worry like, oh, does my motherboard have a proper, you know, proper M.2 cooling or something like that? And I do want to mention that all of these results are on pre-release firmware. So if you know about M.2 drives, the firmware does get updated and the performance does get better over time. So it's definitely something to consider here as well. But very, very fast performance here. Didn't run into any issues, didn't run into any thermal throttling, put this thing through the rigors and it was just fine. So again, I think if you are going to buy any E28 based drive, and there's going to be a ton, they're going to come out through this, you know, through the end of 2025 here, you're going to be very satisfied with these type of drives. I really don't see an issue. And I think that also you will see heatsink versions, and they're not going to be like, again, active cooling or even like a massive heatsink or anything like that. It's going to be pretty, Pretty normal, kind of what you see with Gen 4 right now. You see all the heatsink versions, and they're like, you know, just like a normal smaller heatsink. So yeah, I'm excited. I'm excited to finally see like widespread adoption of Gen 5, especially because a lot of the newer motherboards will have multiple Gen 5 slots, not just that top slot, especially the newer motherboards. So I'm pretty excited for that. Again, there's like no pricing or anything like that. That's always going to depend on whoever's making the drive and what kind of they price the drive at. But again, we're sort of in like that second generation of Gen 5 drives now. So things are going to get more affordable. I wouldn't say you're going to get necessarily parity with Gen 4 drives, but you're going to get pretty close, I think. So yeah, we are. Would you ever, you know, get Gen 5 eventually?
I mean, yeah, at some point. I'm still on a platform that doesn't support it. So
yeah, yeah.
But yeah, yeah, absolutely. Especially now. Like, don't get me wrong. Like, I loved the look and like ingenuity that some of those companies had for their cooling solutions on early Gen 5 drives. Right, we saw like huge heat sinks. We saw the fans, like you were talking about. But I love that we don't have to necessarily rely on those huge ones anymore. But yeah, you know, once I'm ready to upgrade, right? Who knows? I'm a slow upgrader, so maybe it'll be Gen 6 by the time I upgrade. But
yeah, that'll be like, yeah. But yeah,
I was looking at like, you know, Gen 4 4 terabyte drives, and those things are pretty cheap now. So I you know, not that that helps with this.
But. Yeah, and if you are wondering, when it comes to like the E28 based drives, you should see 1 terabyte, 2 terabyte, 4 terabyte, nice, at least to start. So yeah, it's like I said, I think you're going to see a ton of drives based on this controller. And I think the biggest thing that stopped a lot of people from getting Gen 5 drives is they didn't want that little fan. They didn't want to have to worry about thermal throttling. And now, again, in this sort of second generation, you won't have those issues, at least with the E28. And on top of that, pricing is going to be a little bit better than when things first launched as well. So yeah, really excited. Check out the review if you are interested in performance and everything like that. But I think overall, all the drives based on the E28 are going to be great. So really excited to see the different drives that come out. We'll probably end up reviewing a handful of those as well. So, yeah, we'll move on to Case Mod Friday. And of course, that's where we feature a mod or build that's been completed in the community. And we have another one from AK Mod. So this is his Oasis V2 mod, and it's based on the APNX V2 case. And I saw this at Computex as well.
Oh, really? Okay.
And it's just like simple, but he just like made it into this futuristic looking thing.
We've talked about this like multiple times recently, especially, but like it's one of those things that would fit in perfectly on the set of a movie, right? Like it's some little like health computer, or it's like some little box that, you know, performs some function, because you got these like almost medical looking windows into it. But then there's like those little, I don't know what they are supposed to be, but they almost look like little jet boosters, or like is this some sort of propulsion system for it? I don't know. It looks semi-medical to me, right? Just with the white and red. But yeah, this thing's sweet.
Yeah, I really like the simplicity of the bends and everything, and just like the color matching too. So you have like what is that? Like a darker orange or red, and then you have the like the lighter orange on the lighting. Yep.
Well, I like how used on that vertical run there on the right, like used just like a stainless steel or chrome tube, and then a fitting to change it over to red. Like, so obviously the coolant is red, but like you have that color change there. Yeah, it's
really cool. It all goes together so well, and it's just like simple and easy. And yeah, there's a picture of the back too, because it has like these, I guess you would call them like fins. Like, see that right there, like in the back.
Yeah, those louvers. I love
yeah, that. Yeah, really, really cool.
I don't know what their workshop looks like in order to craft some of this stuff, because I always go back to like, is it 3D printed? But there's no layer lines unless they're like sanding everything like perfectly. I mean,
yeah,
the fit and finish on these builds is just amazing.
Yeah, it's just the quality, and like AK Mon, he's like such a humble person too, so. Yeah, just the quality of his builds is just amazing. Like I said, I think next year at Computex, I'm going to go see his studio. I think it would be really, really cool to see where he builds and how he does everything. Definitely want to try to set that up for next year because, yeah, he's one of the best. And yeah, like just like the, yeah, the lines. It's all about the lines for me and a lot of this. And then, like I said, the color matching just is perfect too.
Yep. Looks good.
Yeah. So shout out to AK Mod. Of course, if you guys haven't been on the website, if you're new here, we have a full section of Case Mod Friday builds. We feature a build every Friday. So if you go to articles at the top and then Case Mod Friday, and then like you essentially can scroll for probably ever. Like we've been doing this for a very long time. So like you can scroll for a very, very long time. So tons of builds, tons of inspiration. If you want to see what you can, you know, do with computer parts, what you can do with builds, or just see how creative other people are. We have so many builds that we've featured over the years. So definitely go ahead and check that out. And we'll move on to news. So the first thing is RDNA 5. So are you ready for like a new graphics cards already?
I'm interested to see what AMD's
I feel got, like we just cooking. I feel
we,
like
we did. I mean, we did. We just got 5000 series not too long ago and some, you know, AMD cards, so
yeah. So RDNA 5 96 CUs in a 384-bit memory bus, which would put it, you know, that would be for the next flagship. Right. It's a big increase, big increase. So if you think about it, like the last flagship from AMD had 64 CUs, so having 96 is like,
yeah.
Do you think that we would maybe get a, you know, 5090 class card, right, or like a 90 right class card, like a comparable 90 class card from AMD?
90's tough. If there was like an 85, maybe, right?
I don't know.
Because they've always just been that level behind.
Well, right? that's the interesting thing about this story. And again, this is just a rumor, right? This is sure not. But if you think about it, especially with this past generation, I mean, AMD only targeted initially like mm-hmm a certain price point with a certain card.
Yep.
You know what I mean?
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, maybe they're just like, okay, we're going back into right competing in the super high end.
Take and that the gloves was off.
That was the hardest thing, which I hated about the 50 series, is at the high end, there was no competition. No competition at the high end. So like NVIDIA could kind of do whatever they wanted,
right,
and not worry about price, not worry about what you got. It was just, okay, well, this is what you, if you want a card in this performance range, this is the only one you could get. So yeah, it would be nice to see a 96 CU, you know, graphics card from AMD, 384-bit memory bus on the mid-range. They're saying the mid-range would be the 64 CU. And then the entry level will be 32 CU. So we'll see. Again, this is all rumored. When do you even think we would? I mean, maybe more like a lot more leaks towards the end of the year, and then maybe something
Computex-ish.
Probably.
Computex-ish. I think CES is too soon.
Yeah, CES is in January, I mean, so that'd right be,
so we're too soon there. How cool would that be though? Like AMD having a GPU release it at CES, that'd be cool. Computex feels more within the time frame that I would expect with this.
Yeah, I think that would probably be it. But it's
just kind of nice because it doesn't feel so close to, you know, current.
Yeah, releases. This product cycle at least needs like a year. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, we at least have to let have it a simmer year. Yeah, let it simmer a little bit. Also on the AMD front, the new Threadripper Pro 9995WX or 9995WX just crushed the Cinebench R23 records. It was overclocked to 5 gigahertz on all cores.
Yeah.
And it pulled...
Only 950 watts.
Yeah, pulled 947 watts, which is wild. That's all 96 cores are running at 5 gigahertz, which is a crazy overclock. And you can see the Cinebench score here. Yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah, I don't. I need to run Cinebench on this just to like get a comparison, right? I don't think, because this machine that I use, I don't benchmark on it, right? It's just like my daily driver, so I have no idea what my R23 score would be. But just like run it just to be sad compared to this. But
and this is the multi-core benchmark, so. Yep. Multi-core, again, you're taking advantage of all 96 cores that are all overclocked.
Yep.
Who did this, by the way?
It was a US-based guy.
Skywalker.
Yep.
Yeah. So that's awesome. I love seeing stories like this. It's just to be able to push it that far in an all-core overclock is just awesome. So really cool to see that. And on, 96 cores is crazy. Moving on to DDR6. Are you ready for new memory?
Yes, but I guess I'll hold my, I am.
Are you ready for
the new form factor?
Well, we've talked about it.
We have.
And I saw some motherboards that had the CAM2 at Computex. There's probably some at CES too.
And I know we talked about it, we were first hearing about it, thinking about like, well, how can we like take it? How are companies going to take advantage of this like flat surface, right? Are we going to get screens? Are we going to get LCD panels? Like, how are you going to dissipate heat? Like, what are heat considerations with it being flat and all those things?
Yeah. So DDR6 is set to launch in 2027, double the speed. So starting at 8,800 megahertz and going up to 17,600 megahertz.
Jeez.
The closest, on DDR5, you should see close to 10,000 at the highest of highest end, right? Eventually, like we've tested kits that are 82. I think there are definitely a lot of kits that are 8,600 megahertz out there as well, that you can just like enable the profile and you're good to go.
Right, go.
Mm-hmm. So going from that to 17,600.
Yeah, that's awesome.
And then the new form factor. So we've talked about CAM2 in the past. This is kind of what it looks like sitting on the board. That's what kind of CAM2 looks like. And there are CAM2 motherboards out there. But like Ryan said, this new form factor makes, this is going to sit on the motherboard. And again, I don't know why it sits flat, because I feel like it just,
well, they get more you have more what am I trying to say here, you have better connectivity options, right? Like you don't have to, you have a wider surface to have more connectivity through to your board, so you've got like a lot more direct connectivity, I guess.
Yeah. But do you see in 2027 all motherboards, like DDR6 motherboards, supporting this form factor? Do you see, or do you like, could it be just DDR6 is just CAM2? Like if you want to do it, it's CAM2.
I mean, we're not going to see anything where we've got boards that support DDR4 and 5, right? We're not going to see that.
Or 5 and 6, you mean?
Or yeah, I'm sorry, 5 and 6. I don't know.
You're not going to see a board that supports both. You could see a newer chipset that would that depends on the CPU manufacturer at the time, like what they're going to support. Because we did have that. We had on the Intel side, we had ones that supported DDR5, and then we have one, the same board, but it supported DDR4 instead.
Yeah.
That's when DDR5 was very new. So I don't know.
You got a very split ecosystem if with CAM modules, right? Because it's going to be all right.
If the platform's completely new, right? So it's not like you're grabbing an old board. DDR6 is going to be brand new, right? Sure. So if you're building a new system, if they make that decision that DDR6 is just CAM2, all the motherboard manufacturers would have to make boards that are just CAM2.
True. Yeah.
it's just like we're going on the thing. Like we talk about BTF motherboards. Of course, those are the, you know, boards with the connectors on the back, Project Zero from MSI. And like how that was such a dramatic change. And now this could be like one of those exact same things where, you know, no more. I'd had some memory sitting here, but no more, you know, modules. You have these CAM2 modules now. And again, like Ryan said,
it's a single stick. So that's like what, a 64 gig, like,
yeah,
whatever you want to call it, you know.
Module. And like Ryan said, with this flat surface that you are going to get here, like, could we see screens on these? Like, could, like, you know, the liquid cooling could be interesting. Like, how is all this going to work? And again, I think I have a really good feeling that you're going to see a wide adoption of CAM2. And again, with like new CPUs and new chipsets coming out, if they are going to support the, like, they could just make it so that's the standard. You know what I mean? Yeah. So it's like, yeah, it's not a big deal per se. You know what I mean? So be interesting. 2027.
Got a little while.
Yeah, we got a little while to see how all that plays out. And again, we have seen other, you know, we have seen current motherboards that do support CAM2 instead of your normal DIMMs already. So maybe that's like, you know, testing ground, see what kind of goes, and then they'll make the big jump when it comes to, you know, getting DDR6 out. So pretty interesting.
I expect old man to get this.
Yeah.
Because he's got the key. Sometimes he's got the keyboards to go with it.
Oh, you're talking about the, okay, yeah, you're talking
about this. Yeah, this next story, sorry.
Yeah, so Main Gear came out with this retro computer. So this is like their PR image here at the top, but it looks like this, and this is the Silverstone case. Silverstone came out with this. I forget the name of this case, but this is what, you know, the case looks like. It looks very retro. It's designed to be like that, and Main Gear has built an actual system with this case. So it obviously, I can't imagine anybody's using a CRT monitor, but that's what their thing looks like. It's called the Retro 95. This is a Silverstone FLP01 case, which was originally an April Fool's joke, but they ended up making it in this colorway because people were actually interested in it, because you can essentially do a sleeper build that looks like an old computer, right? You know, and yeah, let's actually just go to the Main Gear website.
Yeah, you get a pre-built for starting at like 1600 essentially.
Yeah, so this is what it looks like internally. You know, you're gonna have your current hardware. It looks like Noctua fans in there, full size Founders Edition 50 series graphics card, and all of that.
They put an optical drive, huh? Are they really gonna include one, or are they just showing it for the heck of it? There,
does it say like what you get to customize? Let's see. If we can customize our own retro PC. So, okay.
Optical drive, yeah, optional.
So for let's see this. For $1,599, you get a Ryzen 5 9600X. You get a RTX 5050. So, and then you get air cooler, fans, you get an MSI motherboard, all of that. How much is an optical? Do they even sell those anymore? So you can get an LG 24X optical drive or a Blu-ray for $99, but you know, and let's see how expensive this gets. So say we want like a 5070 and like an AIO. Can you get any?
Yeah,
no. Just probably based on the case you couldn't. So like $2,000 for a 5070 9600X B650 motherboard.
Are the Noctua an upgrade? I'm guessing.
So yeah, the Noctua fans are an upgrade. It's a $220 upgrade, but Noctua fans are not cheap. So that would bring our total, and 16 gigabytes of memory as well. $2,300 for this. That's not bad. Yeah. Oh. It would be cool for like somebody who's into it. I think a lot of people too would just buy the case from Silverstone, but it's cool to see a company sort of run with this, right? Yes. Retro builds or sleeper builds have been pretty popular over the past couple of years, probably because all of us who like grew up building computers are getting to an age, we're old now. So yeah. I think I think
gotta hit that turbo button.
Yeah, exactly. So pretty cool to see. I like this. It's cool to see a company do it for sure. So yeah.
So those cases would have like the key on the front, you know, yeah, to, like lock out the power or
yeah. And like you said, like the turbo button and all of that. Yeah. So pretty cool. You can purchase it starting today. So today's July 23rd. You can buy one right now if you want to. And like you said, you saw us go through the configurer. So you can go ahead and do that. Moving on to AI. So we've been talking about AI and all these AI machines and all of that. Well, Asus has built a really crazy desktop that features the NVIDIA GB300 Blackwell Ultra Superchip, which looks like this, which is essentially like a supercomputer. And they're shipping it out in you know, it looks like this. It's a big workstation. Pretty cool. Like this is a supercomputer, you know. And that's the really, really powerful one. They also have a smaller one that's like very small that you could still do all of your AI stuff. And I think these, like, again, for most of you guys, our audience, like this stuff isn't necessarily that exciting because you would never buy something like this. But if you're like an AI developer or you need to run your LLMs on something, these are cool. This is really, really cool that they put this together. I mean, look how cool this board looks.
I like the gold case in the back, but yeah, if that was an option. No, this is cool.
Yeah. And this board has like the M.2s. Like,
it's funny. It's got audio ports on the back though. It looks like,
well, yeah, you need audio.
Well, okay.
For your system, maybe. I don't know what you're doing on there. But yeah, then you can see all the like the 12 EHPWRs at the top here, the your M.2s,
Is it built for two? It almost looks like you could put like dual processors there. What's the lower?
Is that
just floating right there?
No, this is all part of the board.
Okay.
So I think the GB300, like, it's these two things together.
Right, that's what I'm saying, is that the one up top is floating above the board right now and would go on to that in that position.
I don't know. I don't know how this works.
It just looks open in that lower section.
Right? Yeah. I'm not sure, to be honest. But very cool. And you could do a lot of interesting things with a system like this. So shout out to Asus for kind of putting that whole thing together there. I actually really, really like this keyboard. I know Old Man was talking about Cherry G80 touch board. You might want to look into this one, Old Man. This looks really cool. So this is, it's called the, how would you say that, Ryan? Solil. It is a mechanical keyboard, has wood accents. It actually looks great. Like these look, if you look at the design of this, like all the wood accents on this board, on the back, on the, like, it looks, I really like the white one for me. Like it's just a nice looking mechanical keyboard. But the interesting thing is, like, you see this little rectangle right here. That's actually a solar panel. So it's right here.
Just
so
like this your old calculator.
Yeah, it's just like a solar panel. So this is a wireless keyboard, and they say 12, like a year of battery, like a year of usage on this. So you really don't have to ever plug this back in. I'm a fan.
Yeah, it's cool. I think I like really, the wood accents. Yeah, they say backlight. Turn the backlighting off if you want optimal battery performance, which understandable. Yeah. But that's a pretty small panel there. But it's, you know, if you're like in a good lit area and it's just constantly getting a little trickle of
energy. Yeah, and if you think about it, like you turn your computer off, it's still going to get that power.
Right.
Like,
you know
what I mean? It's giving the power overnight.
Mm-hmm. Overnight? You live somewhere where it's
you know what I mean. But like when you're not using your computer, it's still getting power. That's what I meant. But yeah, like I said, I really like the wood accents here. And the lighter one has the lighter wood. I just think it looks really, really cool. And like I said, the accent on the, like the wood accent on the back, I think looks great as well. I don't know if there's pricing on this. Is there pricing on this? This is from Canon Keys, by the way. Let's see. Okay, so it's not available.
Like they're kind of, yeah.
Yeah, getting interest on it. So it might like launch, but yeah, I just think it looks cool.
What's the sound switches? Old man wanted to.
Switches.
I don't see. Maybe they're hot swap?
I mean, they have this picture with the
switches. Yeah, I saw the, yeah.
Right here. I'm not sure. Or maybe, like I said, you could pick your own switches and put your own switches on there. I'm not sure. So we go to the interest check form. Okay, so it's just a Google form. So, yeah. So, yeah, they're just gauging interest on it. Like, you know, they're asking how much would you pay for it, all that kind of stuff. So, but I think it's really cool. I think, you know, having something like that. And again, I think it's a good looking keyboard too. Like I said, the wood accents is what really.
They're saying I saw something where it says it's a DIY kit requiring user supplied switches, stabilizers, and keycaps.
Okay. That's kind of cool too. That's like something fun. You know what I mean?
Get you started, and then
yeah. So we have the link to Canon Keys and everything. If you want to fill out their form, maybe you are interested in it. But I thought it was definitely really cool. Something definitely interesting. Now we'll move on to Battlefield 6. Are you excited for Battlefield 6?
I'm maybe more excited after tomorrow.
Yeah. So apparently there's supposed to be a reveal trailer coming out tomorrow. So, yeah, first trailer is going to drop July 24th. We heard speculation, but it is going to be called Battlefield 6. So it's not going to be called like Battlefield whatever or, you know. So yep. Battlefield 6, reveal trailer tomorrow. And then we also have possibly a reveal event on July 31st. They might have some event. And they already sent out these packages. Like to like influencers.
Let's see it.
Hold sure. on, let me bring this up. Yeah. So they sent out these packages. From EA sent out these Battlefield 6. Like it says Battlefield 6 on it. So yeah. And like I said, they're supposed to have a reveal event, you know, letting us know about it. I'm excited.
Yeah. It would be cool. Like those big battles. You know, large theater of war type of setups are always fun.
And this is a massive franchise for EA too. It's not like sure. It's a little franchise or a game, or like this is a massive franchise for them. And like these games hold a pretty big window of time as far as like play time, like at least a few years until the next one. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Because what was the first one? It was 1942. Yeah.
Yeah,
was the first one.
Yeah, so pretty cool that they're like sending out these promo packages. Like they're getting pretty pumped for it, because I remember like some Battlefield launches were just like really boring and like just not exciting. Where I feel like this one, they're kind of competing against Call of Duty, right? Call of Duty had those like those big drops that were like just in the middle of different cities. That was pretty cool. So we'll see what tomorrow, what the trailer looks like. Are you expecting anything great? Like Battlefield games also were like, you know, it was, if you remember, like Battlefield was one of the first ones where you could do 64 player multiplayer, where you could
you're in a helicopter.
It had a lot of really cool mechanics that were like firsts in different games. Do you think we'll see anything?
I mean, I don't know what's even current with like a current Battlefield, because I haven't played one in so long, or like a Call of Duty. So like something I may say right now would be like, we've had that for the last three games.
Yeah.
So
I would expect too, like the game's going to support all the latest DLSS and real-time ray tracing and all of that. I'm just excited for like certain Battlefield maps and missions were just like so hectic and like all over the place. And it was so much fun. So I'm really excited for that. I think Battlefield is one of those franchises that it's just a lot of fun to play the game, and they have had really good campaigns. That's the thing. Like we're all into, you know, all online, all battle royale and all of that, but the Battlefield games did have a really good story too, at least some of them.
Yep. Yep.
So I'm really excited. Like I said, tomorrow we have the link in one of the articles where the YouTube trailer will be. So yeah, just check it out tomorrow. I'm excited. I
was looking at the list of Battlefield games and there's a ton of them. Like if you scroll through this, it's like there's so many. I think the last Battlefield game I actually played any time was Battlefield Bad Company 2, and that came out in 2010. Yeah, because I didn't play any like Battlefield 3 or 4 or 5.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well,
I played a ton of Battlefield 2.
Yeah, I played Battlefield 5. Is that the latest? Yeah, I played Battlefield 5. We used it for benchmarking as well, but I actually played it a lot too. Always they're just fun games. They're just really, really fun. And obviously, based on this picture, it's going to be current time. Yep. It seems so. And this looks like the Brooklyn Bridge.
I was gonna say it looks like New York.
Yeah. So, like I said, should be very interesting to see what we see tomorrow. And then if there is that reveal events on the 31st, that would be pretty cool too. I don't know what EA has planned, but it should be cool if that actually happens as well. So yeah, definitely excited. Stay tuned tomorrow, like I said, for all of that. And we'll definitely be talking about it probably next week on the podcast as well. GTA 6, we've been talking about GTA 6, it's delayed. You know, I would say probably for the next few years, like GTA 6 is probably the most anticipated game. I feel like GTA 6 crosses all, if you're a console gamer, if you're a PC gamer, like GTA 5 was that game that everybody played.
You can play it casually and just like do whatever you want. You can play competitively,
And then like there's like all the RP servers that are going on, and like actual economies within the RP servers. And it's one of the longest running games. Like we always do this. I think it's like
when did it come out?
Well,
and like the story is like, okay, the expected estimated shatter 7.6 billion in the first, 60 days or something?
Yeah.
And so like,
GTA 5 came out in 2013.
Okay. Yeah, I was going to say 2015, but that's wild. So 12 years ago. I think that number that's a huge number to start with. But it's only going to be that if you've got both console and PC.
Do you think we'll see a PC and console launch at the same time?
I hope so. I don't know. I don't know what to expect.
Yeah, I mean, I think that this is going to be massive. I mean, it has to be.
I think it would be a mistake not to, because of the shift in the number of PC gaming's popularity. Time frame from when.
And if you think about how popular these are.
Right. Right.
You know, mobile gaming consoles now, like the people are buying those. I don't know though. Yeah, I mean, we'll have to see. I think that it's going to be one of the biggest game releases of all time. I'm okay with the delays as long as the game is. It's good. Like I said, GTA 5 was just the game. It was good. The story was good. Like Ryan said, if you wanted to just go around and play around, you could go ahead and do that as well. But 7.6 billion in 2 months.
Potential. Yeah, that's an estimate.
You know, and like once GTA 7 or GTA 6 comes out, like a year later, we'll get like this documentary on like the crunch and how they like treated all developers really bad.
Yeah.
You know, or something like that. I would hope not, but.
I would hope not, because you've had how much time to. Build this thing.
And like I said, we did have those leaks a while back that like showed some of the gameplay and all of that. We'll have to do a stream when it comes out. We'll have to do a whole gaming stream of GTA 6 when it comes out. Yep. I'll definitely get it. Hopefully there's some good benchmarking in it too, right?
Because
we use GTA 5 for benchmarking for a very long time. So it was a really good benchmark at the same time too. I'm excited. I
got to buy a new drive to fit this thing. I have a feeling.
How big do you think it's going to be?
I don't know. I mean, it's I feel like we ran a story a while back about the potential size of it. Maybe, I mean, it's gonna be huge.
I mean, what was it like? Call of Duty was like the biggest one recently, and that was like 300 gigs or 400 gigs.
Yeah, it's wild.
Yeah, I mean, I'd say it's, unless they use some type of crazy, I don't know how you would do compression or whatever. Right. I mean, it's going to be at least 300 gigs, I would say. Yeah, and it'd be interesting to see what platforms it launches on too.
Yep.
You know, like, are you going to see this on a Switch?
Not at the first Switch. No, probably not even Switch 2. No.
You don't think Switch 2?
No, I don't think Nintendo would even want this.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, we'll see.
Maybe they would. It might help them sell some more consoles. I don't know.
Yeah, it will be very interesting to see kind of what. Yeah, it would, and like, think of like the launch, all the leading up to the launch. Hopefully they do some really cool stuff with the launch. Like I said, like putting things in different places and just doing this whole PR campaign. Even though they don't need to do anything.
No,
like they literally need to do nothing to promote.
GTA 5 was their GTA 6. Like,
yeah, they need to do strategy. Nothing.
Yeah.
Old Man says there'll be a lot of new PCs built when GTA 6 is released on Steam. Yeah, that's the thing too. It's like, it will be really interesting to see if we get the PC version at the same time, or at least within the same year. If it's like 2 years later, that's, oh man, I'd be so upset.
Yeah.
What do you think would be acceptable for the PC version?
I don't even want to wait 6 months.
I think 6 months is the max.
Yeah.
Like GTA 6 releases on console around the summer, and then for holiday, we get it on PC. I would be okay with that. I think that would be the way to go for that. But yeah, that, like I said, interesting. I mean, we're not going to see it till 2026 anyways, at least. So yeah, be interesting. Talking about what we have coming up next week, I kind of just showed you guys, but I have this thing. This is the Lenovo Legion Go S, which has an 8-inch screen on it. Pretty excited that we've played with these, and we see them at CES and Computex and stuff like that. But I haven't had time to actually like sit down and play with one of these. So I'm really excited to tell you guys about this, my first kind of experience really, really playing with these. And the review is going to be like that. Like, would you actually buy this as somebody who owns a PC, or would you buy this if you're just a pure gamer and you want something like this instead of buying a PC? Cause this is a PC, this runs Windows 11. You know what I mean?
Yep.
So yeah, so pretty excited to tell you guys all about this. So stay tuned for this review next week. And then I'm also taking a look at, actually I have it sitting here as well, actually I have it plugged in, is the Asus ROG Harp Ace Mini. So it's a smaller version of the Harp Ace. It's gonna be my new travel mouse, which is pretty awesome for like a travel mouse.
Oh yeah.
49 gram, super lightweight. This thing, like I said, it's gonna be awesome. So yeah, that's what we have coming up for next week. And then, since we were talking about Battlefield, Grand Theft Auto, you know, all of those pretty much like the premier games, our question of the week this week is, what is one gaming franchise that you've always played when like the new game came out? It doesn't matter. Like, I know what yours is probably, but like if there's a certain game that the new one came out, you always bought it and you always played it.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, you're probably right. I'm going to say WoW. Even though I took a break like for a couple expansions, mostly because we had kids and, you know, just took some time off. But yeah, I mean, I played for the first three expansions, and then I've played again for the last three expansions. And like with those, other than like WoW, you know, classic, like the original, I didn't have that at first, and I actually made fun of all my friends that played WoW. It's like, this is so stupid, like why would you get it? And then they bought me a copy, and then I was like hooked ever since. But yeah, I would, that's a game where I'd always have it, like that day that it was coming out, it was like bam.
Yeah, as soon as the expansion came out, you got it.
But I was like that with a lot of other games too, like Crysis when it first came out. Like some of those shooters that were like felt like they were just like such an event every time. The big game, like I'd always buy it, you know, Half-Life 2, you know.
Yeah.
I said Crysis already. Trying to think of a couple, you know, the Battlefield 2, the Call of Duty 4, and all those games, like those AAA titles, I would always buy it like midnight release.
I think gaming is so saturated now because, like, again, what we talked about with that the Battlefield games, how they always featured like this new feature that was in no other games. Like, we don't see that as much anymore, right? Yeah. Like, we don't see this new crazy thing that like you can only play in this game. But yeah, I think for me, like I would always buy Battlefield games. They were always so much fun.
Yeah.
I mean, I was into WoW for a long time too. Yeah, I think those are like the big ones, I would say, for me.
Yeah.
Yeah, but like I think when a big AAA title does come out, you just want to play it. You know, I think that's the biggest thing. Because they're always so much fun, and like it does, especially now.
Good, and
especially now too, with like all social media and everything, it does feel like an event. Like it's like, oh, like you open your feed and like everybody's playing the game, or everybody's talking about the game, and it, yeah. So yeah, Battlefield 6 definitely gonna get, GTA 6 definitely gonna get. I don't know if there's anything else coming out that I'm like super excited for.
Yeah, I mean, like,
I think those are the big ones.
Yeah,
those would be. I haven't really been like a COD
unless there was person. Unless there was like a, you know, I think we talked about this the other day, a Warcraft 4 or a, you know, a Starcraft 3 or something. Yeah, right? Like
I would be super excited for that as well. Like a new Starcraft would be amazing.
Yeah, it would be sweet.
Yeah, that would be very, very cool as well. So, but yeah, guys, talking about gaming, we are going to be doing some gaming. Of course, we do our gaming stream after the podcast stream, and we do that one over on Twitch. So if you want to continue to hang out with us, it's twitch.tv/thinkcomputers. Ryan runs that stream, and we're going to be playing some Apex Legends. So definitely stay tuned for that. I wish we could just like move everybody who's watching over, just like to Twitch.
Switch them over.
Yeah, switch over. That would be nice. But yeah, that's going to be over on twitch.tv/thinkcomputers. Of course, we appreciate everybody who's in the live stream. Old Man and Jesse the Dude who are in the live chat. There's at least 50 of you guys in the live stream right now. So we appreciate everybody. And of course, everybody that listens later, whether it's on video or audio. And we will see everybody next week.